From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
This is Locked On Chiefs. Welcome to everything you need to know about the Kansas City Chiefs as we get going in the second week of March leading up to free agency. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off of your next order. We have some important things to talk about today in what type of wide receiver this team needs to be looking to add to its stable of pass catchers, as well as discussion about the defensive line and how they can improve there and really make a step forward in one of the things that was lacking last season. And we have to start with an old friend, I think, because it's a really interesting scenario. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. As Ryan said, this is the second week of March and we are getting ready to jump into free agency. That will be upon us before we know it.
I'm looking forward to the free agency thing, and I think we can be bolstered a little bit by last week.
I agree with that, but what I will say, and that's what I think that this week is going to bring, and I think what you're going to find, and for the people listening, I think you're going to hear about us talking about veterans that are just getting massacred with releases over this next week. I do think that this could be a bloodbath when it comes to contracts in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's encouraging for the Chiefs, I think, because one thing that we talked about last week is that, you know, you need a little bit of veteran depth. You can't just go all draft or all super young guys, and I think that's important. We're going to talk about two positions that need to make additions, I think, in both ways, but the veteran thing is important, and old friend Alex Smith has now been released by the Washington football team. And I'm all for having a quality backup. My question to you is, I know he wants to start somewhere. I know right now he's saying he wants to play and he wants to start. I just don't know if he's going to have a market for him. Do you?
I think he will. I think he's better than some of the teams that have QBs right now. I think he's better than what they have in Chicago. Obviously, that he's better than what they have in Jacksonville and the Jets. And yes, I know both of those guys are probably going to be, both those teams are probably drafting QBs at 1 and 2. The question is how do you feel as a team? Are you going to be willing to basically sacrifice your rookie behind a poor team the first year? Or are you going to go and try to win? I understand that a lot of people will say that you have to start rookies from the start. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. Look at how it worked out for Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith for a year.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, I think the best landing spot for Alex Smith, if he is going to play, is going to be Chicago so that he can try to do something, you know, obviously after the fact with Trubisky, but with a coach in Nagy that I think he can connect with and get on the right path with. But I do, in the back of my mind, feel that a lot of teams, maybe the Bears as well, are going to feel that it's just a lot of risk because of the injury, because of where he's at. And for me, if he doesn't get a market, if it doesn't develop somewhere that he wants to go, I personally think that is not just a good idea, but I think something that could have lasting benefits for the Kansas City Chiefs to bring him back as the backup to the guy that was his backup in not only continuing to mentor Patrick and support him, you know, with film and everything else, but honestly for making a transition to a coaching career after his playing days. And somebody that you know can literally, at the drop of a dime, walk onto that field and run this offense.
You know, I love how everybody wants to talk about Alex Smith coming back to Kansas City. Here's the problem. Is he after the money or is he after a position that he wants to have? Because if he's after the money, he's not coming to Kansas City. Kansas City can't pay him more than $2 million on a backup contract.
I completely agree. For me, it's not about the money. It's not about the starting. For me, it's about the risk of his leg, which I'm not sure teams are going to take, versus what can he do post-playing career? And I think this is like the most natural step. And quite frankly, if the team loses EB next year and loses Kafka and that kind of thing, like there's nobody better in terms of trying to start running the offense from a play call standpoint than there is a guy who's run it from a player standpoint.
Well, and maybe you're right, but I guess my opinion and my point is, I don't think that the NFL is going to look at Alex Smith and say that we're not going to take a risk because they could give him a, you know, $8-10 million contract with, you know, playtime incentives. Mm-hmm. If he wants to play, they can give him that. And that protects the team, that protects Smith. Well, I guess it doesn't protect Smith, but it gives him a chance to start. So at that point, he's going to be in a situation where he'd have a chance to play. I think that's the kind of deal he can sign in a place like Chicago or even a place like Jacksonville or New York, or, the Patriots don't have a quarterback right now. And I still would make an argument that Alex Smith could be better than another 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the league that are starting. Yeah. He got them to the divisional. He got them in the playoffs last year. And granted, it was after, coming back late in the season. But at the same time, he did get them in the playoffs. He got them close to being able to win a game in the playoffs. I think that shows something.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm just not sure who's going to take a chance. And I think it's a really interesting scenario, not only for his future, but for the Chiefs' future as well. So that said, the future is what we have to get to. And we're going to start on the defensive line, take a look at who's there and what mightn't be needed coming up next. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And Bet Online even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I know this is a tough one, defensive line, ends versus tackles, the whole mixture and thing, but this is a group that I think overall is primed for a reload. I'm not going to call it a rebuild because I think they have pieces, obviously, with Chris Jones and House and Frank Clark as well. But I think it's lopsided, to tell you the truth, with just the two of them. And nothing against the other guys like Mike Dana and Tashaun Wharton, who I think are going to play big roles next season. I do feel that they need to get more specifically better pass rush to accompany Jones and Clark. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. The question is how they're going to go about doing that. And I think that that's going to be, a very big question going forward.
Yeah, I do too. And the spending in particular is going to be a tough one because of the money that you've got locked up in those two guys. So having their, cohorts, it's difficult to sink any more money in that. That leads me to the draft more so than free agency. Although we talked last week about one guy that I like for that position is Matt Judon, but I don't know that that's going to happen. So when you take a step back, Mike Pinnell's a free agent. I don't expect him to return. Colin Saunders is a question mark, but he's under contract. Can you go into this season with Jones, Nnadi, Saunders, and Wharton as your four?
I think they can go in there with those four. I think that Wharton showed you a lot last season. I think he's going to continue to grow, but it's a big question mark if you head into the season with those four, because you know what you have in Nnadi and you know what you have in Jones. Colin Saunders got hurt and you don't really know what you have in him yet. He was improving, but didn't really play after he got hurt last season. And like I said, Tashaun Wharton played very well at times, but he's got a lot of work to do still in different aspects of his game. So can you go in with those four? Yes. Would another addition be nice? Yeah, it probably would, especially if you're trying to get somebody that can really get after the passer.
That's how I see it too. It's got to be a pass rush oriented guy if they make an addition. And I agree with you. I'm interested to see how Colin Saunders comes back. It's funny. If you listen to Dylan Radin, the tackle out of North Dakota State, who's going to be in this upcoming draft, he was asked last week, who are some of the best guys that you faced at your level? And he brought up Colin Saunders. And it's clearly last year was a hiccup for him. I think that elbow hurt him early, obviously. And I think he gained some weight and that slowed him down a little bit. He needs to drop some pounds and get explosive again. I think he is somebody that can provide some of that pass rush. But I think an addition in the draft is definitely called for, in my opinion. That's where I would attack it. I don't think free agency is the way to go. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't see that you're going to be able to get somebody in free agency. Although what I would say about drafting somebody is you can't draft somebody high. And generally, anybody that can get after the passer is going to come off the board early. So, that's going to be a little bit tricky. I really think that if you could find a guy that can give you a little bit of pass rush, that's a veteran that maybe isn't going to be that expensive, that's going to be almost a unicorn in a way, just because you're not going to find many guys out there that are not going to be expensive. So it's really tricky when it comes to the defensive line and getting somebody that you can add to this team because, like we've already talked, there's so many other positions that they really need help. This is one where they could use help, but they don't need it.
That's the thing. And some place that they do need it is at the end spot, because we talked about them bringing Taco Charlton back, and I still think that they should do that. But right now, we haven't seen the extensions. We haven't seen any of the restructures that we talked about last week and the week before, to tell you the truth. We haven't seen any of those come to fruition yet, so we don't have the space to play with in terms of additions through free agency to this point. But right now, you have Frank Clark and you have Mike Dana, and then it's Ward, and Austin Edwards is a futures contract. So all intents and purposes, a private squad player. You don't even have enough to have backup at each side. So I think Taco's got to be it. But the more that I look at it, and the more that we listened to Brett Veach's press conference from over a week ago now, a lot of little tidbits in there. And one thing that wasn't picked up on is that the defensive line was something that he pointed out as having some depth, some things that he feels he can do there. I think that more and more, if that pressure was also true, that they feel confident about the offensive tackles, I think a defensive end might be in the offing for a high draft pick in this draft.
Definitely could be, and it definitely is a position that you would like to add almost every draft. If you don't have, you know, three substantial pass rushers at the defensive end position, you'd almost always want to be drafting at that position, because pass rush can change everything. Obviously, corner is always going to be a premium position, but so is pass rush. And if you can add somebody that is going to be able to get after the passer and, you know, really open up things for Chris Jones in the inside and open up things for Frank Clark on the other side, you're going to be in a much better position than what you were this season, because they just didn't have anybody on the other side.
Yeah, and that's where it's got to come at. And I like what Mike Dana did as a rookie. And yes, the second year, that first offseason fully in the thing, and hopefully they'll have OTAs and spring camps. And
it's kind of funny. Yeah. Fully into the thing, yeah, we'll see whether or not they get that or not.
Right, which may just delay it another year, which puts them in a contract bind, because then you're not talking about making that jump until year three. That's difficult. But I do like what he did. And again, this for me is not about setting the edge. I think Dan is solid there. This is about getting to the passer. And I know it's tougher and tougher to do that from the outside edge position rather than up through the A gaps from your D tackles. But it's still something that has to happen. It will help the secondary. And if the secondary is then bolstered by that, you're going to get a little bit more time to pass rush. I could see them going, even with the first round pick, I'm okay with that. I don't know if that's something you'd rather avoid.
No, I could see it. And it's funny you mention it that way, because the more you talked about this, the more I wonder if, yeah, they're probably okay at defensive tackle, but I could see him taking a defensive tackle in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because if it's somebody that can get after the passer, that is still something that is worthwhile, and it almost makes it a lot easier at defensive end. Because then you would have Jones and you'd have another pass rusher in on the interior, which disrupts QBs even more than pressure on the outside.
Yeah. And that's the name of the game. And it's especially when you have to think what we're hearing, ramblings of Tom Brady coming back, taking reductions, doing whatever he can to get back in the saddle. Tom Brady's like the epicenter of what this is in terms of getting the ball out faster and faster at all times to negate any of your pass rush. And I think that's something that they're going to see more and more. They're going to see a lot of things that I think they saw in the Super Bowl, and that includes some of the defenses that they're going to have. We're going to talk about what the Chiefs have to have at the wide receiver position to help negate some of those concepts in 2021 that they couldn't deal with very well in 2020. That's on the backside of this.
Built Bar has upped the ante. Delicious, perhaps their best bar yet. If you liked cookie dough chunk Built Bar, then you're going to love coconut brownie chunk. Dark chocolate, coconut, and real brownie chunks. It doesn't get any better.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code locked on for 20% off.
It's a limited time flavor, so go out and get it today at BuiltBar.com. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.
It's an interesting concept, right? The gunslingiest gunslinger met his match by trying to be a gunslinger in that Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I think that's one way to put it. I would also say that he met his match because the Chiefs' offensive line couldn't give him 2 seconds to throw the ball. And that's really what it came down to. He was underdressed so quickly that he was never able to get through progressions. And honestly, that's been one of the things that's impressed me about Patrick the most in his time in Kansas City is he has continually gotten better, I think, going through his reads and going through his progressions. And he's gotten quicker at it. But you just can't do it in 2 seconds and get to your second or third read on a regular basis.
I agree. And that brings us to the conundrum of what they have to do. Because Tyreek is generally a long ball hitter. You know, they try to do that with Hardman as well to get him on overs and things that take time to develop. And we're not going to talk about X versus Z receivers today, folks. We're just talking about traits as we look at free agency and the draft. For me, it comes back to the thing that they didn't do enough of in that Super Bowl, which I think was problematic and would have helped the line, was hit those fast hitting routes, hit the slugs and the sluggos and the quick drags, those things. But that takes a specific kind of receiver, especially one that you can imagine is going to be seeing press. So when you think about shortening the offense or having the option to, what is it that you want in that wide receiver that might be playing that role this season?
I mean, honestly, and I hate saying this because it sounds like a little bit of a cop-out, but give me Sammy Watkins that can stay healthy on a regular basis.
Right. And there's got to be honestly, one of these out there.
That's what it's got to be, is if you can get a guy that can be Watkins, and honestly, his Watkins speed, and I don't remember what his 40 time was, but it was really fast. But even half a second slower at his, you know, his twitchiness, his ability, his explosion, his ability to, you know, handle the press and get into slants and run those routes and route running, even if you're a half second slower than what Watkins was, I think you're still probably going to be fast enough if you can get the separation. Speed is killer in the NFL, don't get me wrong, but you can win if you know how to run your routes right and you can get out of press. And Watkins was phenomenal at that. He just could not stay healthy.
I like the way that you put that because that emphasized what I'm thinking too. Andy wants speed. Patrick wants speed to get down the field. They want to run four deep whenever they can, right? Like they're going to audible to that. That's fine. But in the meantime, when you don't have it, it's about twitch for me, especially if it's going to be an X that's going to get pressed a lot of the time. Now, we all know that they try to cross train them for all three positions, right? All the receivers know all the positions, but you're still going to have tendencies that you're going to see press out of this position because it's not going to be Hill and Hardman, who are a little bit more diminutive and don't want to see the press as much. So that brings me to, it's not necessarily the deep speed that they have. It's the explosiveness. It's the 10 second splits when you're doing timing. It's the guy that can take three steps and either run a slant or cut to the out on a quick out and get that thing open. I don't really care if it's, 6'3" versus 6 foot. I would like to have a long, wingspan to tell you the truth so that you can make that outside throw, especially to the sideline.
The nice thing about what Kansas City needs from this wide receiver position is you don't have to have the prototypical or what you would want in a wide receiver like a Calvin Johnson. Don't get me wrong, Calvin Johnson would be phenomenal in this offense, but you don't need a guy that can run a 4.2 and is 6'5 and is 225 pounds. Obviously, that's what everybody would want, but you're not going to find those guys very often. What you could find is you could find a guy that is, 6'2, 6'3, 6'4 that is, 200 pounds, and maybe he runs a 4.6 or a 4.7. But he's phenomenal about getting in and out of breaks. He has explosiveness, but not speed. And he has the ability to get off of press. If you can find that, I think that's a guy that you could actually find in a later round because he doesn't have the speed that most teams are going to be looking for. But the Chiefs don't need all the deep speed because they've got two guys that can do that. And if this guy can step in, join in with Travis Kelce and take stuff in the middle of the field and, really work the out routes as well, that really opens up things for this offense because then you're able to, start hitting under, and then they're going to have to come up to stop you under and you can go over the top.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel as well. I don't think I can go down to 4.6. I think 4.50 is my high end of that speed. But
I was just saying in general. I mean, you know, you have to have a certain amount of speed, but it doesn't have to be a 4.2 guy. It doesn't have to be even a 4.3 guy. And honestly, I understand what you're saying about 4.5, and you're probably right. So maybe, you know, 4.6 is a little slower, but I still think that you could get a guy if he can step in and do 90% of some of the routes that Kelce can. And yes, I'm not expecting it to be Kelce, but if he can do 90% of the routes that Kelce can on a regular basis, even if he runs a 4.6, I don't care, because he's going to open up things in the middle, and that's going to open up things on the outside and over the top.
Yeah. And it comes back to, when you look at free agency, this is the problem with DeMarcus Robinson. The plays that he makes are usually later in the play, after he's had the ability to kind of build up to speed. A lot of folks out there want Tamarin Terry out of Florida State. Same kind of guy, in my opinion. Not that twitchy, but has the overall speed. So we have to kind of reverse our thinking from the past and get somebody that's a little more twitched up, that can be the instant issue for the defense that they can't really answer if they're going to take everything else away. And I think this is maybe a little bit something that they should have addressed prior to this point, but they certainly need to get caught up on it. So then they can get more proactive about pushing defenses around the league.
Yep, absolutely. And honestly, this could be the wide receiver position, or it could be another guy that they bring in at tight end. Because honestly, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver. It just needs to be somebody else that they can have that can do a lot of what Kelce does and work in the middle of the field. Because you're still going to have Hardman. You're still going to have Hill. Both of those guys can run out of the slot. I mean, honestly, you could get a good slot receiver here too and kind of do the same thing. So you have a lot of different options and a lot of different ways you can go about this, but you do need specific traits. And honestly, I know we haven't talked about this, but I honestly would like to see Kansas City try to pick up David Njoku if he ends up a free agent.
If he does, yeah, I would definitely be with you on that. It sounds like they're trying to put that marriage back together, and he does have 1 year outstanding still on his contract, so they would have to release him. He's definitely on the watch list if anything comes up. And it's funny that you bring that up, because, folks, we're going to talk not only about some positional players that could fit the tight end role, but what that role needs to be and an expansion of what it's been, whether it's draft-wise or free agent-wise or whatever, what this offense needs in order to combat the things that it's getting. We're going to get into that tomorrow. We hope that you guys will join us again for that. It's been fun. We appreciate all the iTunes reviews. Keep those coming. Let us know what you like and what you think. The 5 stars always help. Thank you very much. We appreciate you listening to us today. Don't miss tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.